Tips from the Top Floor, number 86, January 11th, 2005. 2006.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography. And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Oh, getting the dates wrong. Is this going to happen for a while? Anyway, today it's a beautiful day. It's sunshine outside. I'm in a very upbeat mood. And today's show, I'll bring you a sound-seeing tour that I recorded in Wales. My name's Chris Marquardt. This is Tips from the Top Floor, the show about digital photography and photography in general. And wow, we have a ton of new listeners that signed up during the last weeks after Christmas. I think Christmas probably got you guys, well, first of all, a digicam and maybe some time to actually check out the podcast and find this one. I would be really interested where you did find out about Tips from the Top Floor. So if you can, drop me a quick note at info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com or on our voicemail line at 206-202-DSLR. And I definitely need some good content on this show just to, well, not lose the new listeners. The existing listeners are kind of more forgiving. Be careful. I've heard reports from others that said that after one or two shows, they were totally hooked. And some new listeners even went to the website and downloaded all the old 80-something shows. And you can, of course, do that if you go to tipsfromthetopfloor.com and click on the list of shows link on the top of the page. And that'll give you access to all the older shows that are not in the feed anymore. Whatever you do, today you're in for a long sound-seeing tour that I recorded in Wales in the UK. By the way, the official word for that is sound-seeing, S-W-I-N-G, not sound-seen. I've received a couple of emails about that. No, it's sound-seeing, that's the official word, in podcast land. But before we get there, just a few small other things. There's still some slots open for Tips from the Top Deck. It's not that many, so you better hurry up. And to those who listen in for the first time, Tips from the Top Deck is the Mediterranean photography cruise that is planned for early September this year. We'll do a one-week cruise to see Venice, Athens, Corfu, Ephesus, and all the other famous historic places in Crete, Turkey, and Greece. And I'll give a photography workshop, and we'll be on shore excursions together and whatnot. I'm really looking forward to that. This is going to be so much fun. And news item number two is the beanbag winner for the New Year's resolution assignment hasn't been determined yet. Stay tuned for that, and if you don't know what a beanbag is, you'll probably hear me talking a lot about that on the show. For a good overview, go to tipsfromthetopfloor.com, click on list of shows on top of the page, go to the tips and tricks section, and then you can go all the way back and listen to show number 7. I just listened to that. It sounds really different from what I'm doing today. But anyway, it gives you a good explanation on what a beanbag is and why you might need one. And now it's time for today's sound-seeing tour in Hafod in Wales. And make sure that you check out the website in the gallery section. I posted pictures about the sound-seeing tour. So if you have that open, you can actually look at the pictures while listening to the tour, and that might give you a totally different experience. Okay, and we are on a trip to some of the beautiful sites of Wales, and this is Hafod, H-A-F-O-D. If you have a chance, you should definitely take a look. And I'm here with
Rebecca
and
Gareth.
And, well, I'm just looking forward to taking some wonderful pictures here. And we're just standing in front of a sign that tells us where we can go, because there's nice, yeah, paths to walk, and there's other people around here. It's a beautiful church there. We should probably go down there and take a few pictures there.
Yeah.
What do you suggest?
So where are we
here? Let's go down to the church first.
Cool.
Yeah. What's the church? So yeah. In the middle path.
What does that say?
Up to the monument.
Could you say that in Welsh?
Which?
Say it again.
Aradichama.
Tough language to speak. There's different walks here. Let me tell you that there's a ladies' walk, a Chwed Hafod walk. There's a gentleman's walk. There's, I can't pronounce that.
Ystwyth Gorge walk.
Ystwyth Gorge walk and a Bedford Monument walk, and they have different lengths, and they are nicely depicted here on the map.
We could go sort of there.
To the monument way. Yeah. Around there. Let's see how long it takes us.
Cool.
It won't be too long.
Right. Let's do that.
Go to the church first or.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, please. Oh, there's a. You can. Look at that. You can actually get a German map here. This is interesting. just for £2.
Let's go down there.
Do we need that? No, we don't.
Unless it's yellow.
We
just wander. I don't think it's that big a place.
It could get slippery here.
Wet rain.
It's good. Oh no! It's good that I brought my boots with me. I'm actually wearing them. I'll have to wash them later on. So this is actually
really muddy.
Well, listen, Wait, listen. Are you getting the idea? This is a bit. Dirty and muddy here. Has been raining for the last couple of days. So that explains. And this is, oh, there's an old cemetery here. In loving memory. Oh, this is cute. Take a picture of that. I'm going all wide angle here for this little picture of a. Yeah, it is a grave. It's a jar. There's some flowers in on a grave, and I'm just going wide angle and shooting this without looking through the viewfinder. Just a strange angle. It's just kind of trying to anticipate the composition I'm getting here. And checking that on the viewfinder, there's a blown out area in the sky here. Oh, but that's nice with some brown leaves in the front, and then this jar, and this is a lovely little cemetery here. Old tombstones, some of them tumbled over because, it's too old. And then here comes the little church. Let's go inside. So for inside pictures, I'm usually trying to get the most out of the camera, so I'm setting this on 1600 ISO and an aperture of 4, that's all the lens actually does. And we're getting inside, coming in through the door. And oh, is it locked?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pity.
That's a pity.
A pity. Okay. No inside church me. Oh, can I take a picture through the keyhole?
I don't know. It's
keyhole photography. Well, oh yeah, you can see something through the keyhole. Oh, this is actually, this is very interesting. A sixth of a second. I'm just pressing the front of the camera against the keyhole, trying to hold the camera steady. It's having a hard time to focus. So I have to be just careful. That I don't scratch the lens. Oh, now it's even longer. Anyway. I think I managed to hold the camera still. Oh, this actually works. Oh, and it's Rebecca locking me in. Okay. Would you let me out, please? Thank you. So, Hafod. Is there anything you can... you can tell us about it?
Oh God, it's just a form of stately home that was built in the last century.
I think it dates back to the 18th century.
To the 18th?
18th century. I mean, something goes back to me.
And who were the owners or what?
The Johns family.
The Johns family, and they built this kind of park thing here. Is that what they did? Or?
Well, it was originally...
summer residence, that's what the name means.
Ah, okay. Hafod means summer residence.
Yep.
Ah. Oh, now it's a bit misty up here. Let me see if I can get a nice picture of those graves with a bit of mist around. Sometimes it's hard to judge when you take pictures in mist, how misty it actually gets, because it's also... has to do with
types of lenses you use and the kind of filters you use. And okay, oh, got my aperture still wide open. I don't need that. And I'm also pulling down the ISO. Usually that's what I do kind of automatically now. When I walk into a building, into a darker building, I usually go and while I go inside, I just crank up the ISO a bit and lower the, or open up the aperture a bit so that I'm ready to take pictures if I need to. Yeah, and I've kind of automated that. I don't really think about it. If I leave a building, I just did that when I left the church. I just turned down the ISO a bit to be ready to take pictures. There's a little moat around the church. Not sure what's that for. Drainage or... Yeah. Or to keep something out. Maybe to keep the rats out.
Ruthless wild squirrels.
Ruthless wild squirrels.
Burning torches.
Well, there are probably lots of... There's probably lots of squirrels out here. Okay, we're back to that place with a squishy ground. Oh, wait, your hat. Your hat. Okay, now let me go through there again. So yucky. Yeah, well, as a kid, I would have spent more time in there just going squish, squish, squish. Can I help you?
No.
Okay, now we follow the blue path, right?
Yep.
Which walk was that?
I can't remember.
Is that the...
It's one of the ones that goes to the bottom of the hill.
Oh, that means we have to climb all the way back up?
It's not that steep for that.
It's good for you.
What do you mean it's good for me? This really, just from the way the trees look, and that really reminds me of the German forest.
Hey.
In some way. This is interesting. And again, I'm trying some handheld pictures. The moss here is just greener than any other moss I've seen.
Yeah, if you take pictures of that moss, people will accuse you of putting too much green in it.
Yeah, that, I guess that's what's going to happen. People will...
Ooh,
ask me if I artificially raise the color saturation, which I won't have to because it's just amazingly green.
Different color textures.
And different textures and different shades of green. And what's that? You want the camera?
Yes.
Okay. It's too bad that the displays on most cameras today are not good enough to let you really judge the quality of a picture in terms of sharpness and things. I mean, you can zoom in and you can get an idea that it might be sharp, but even on a Canon 20D, it's just, yeah, it just gives you a rough idea. But it helps you to compare between different pictures. It's something I sometimes use when it's dark and I can only go handheld and the exposure is too long. I shoot a burst of pictures, like 5 in a row, and this way I have choice, and chances are that at least 1 or 2 out of those 5 are then not blurred and don't have camera shaken. And this is where zooming in on a display and comparing pictures comes in really handy, so you can just dump the blurred ones right away. Oh, this is nice too. Now it's getting darker here, and if I would take this shot handheld, it'd be a 30th of a second. I guess I can do this on 17 millimeters. Roughly the usual formula is to use the inverse of the of the focal length for shutter time, or shorter. So if you have a 50 millimeter lens on, you want to go a 50th of a second or faster. If you have a 100 millimeter lens on, it's 1/100, and so on. And this way, yeah, you should be able to prevent most camera shake. If you're really shaky, you definitely want to go shorter, but So going a 30th with a 17mm lens would work. Oh, are we coming to a ditch?
Yeah.
Ditch. Dangerous ditch. It's good that I tied my shoes fast. Oh, that looks like squidgy things again.
Yeah.
Okay, let me try that. And... Oh, okay. Made it.
On the third take.
How? What? Oh, what do you mean third take? I didn't cheat here. Didn't cut out anything. Didn't cut out the splash of me hitting the water.
Ah!
No.
And the four letter words.
Okay, whoever's listening to this right now, don't believe them. They're just jealous. But I made it in one jump and they didn't.
Ah.
It's amazing if you look at the path, there's all that slate there. There's loads of slate. Let me try to capture some of the texture of that. Especially against the... Oh yeah, that's nice. Especially against the backlight. Which then results in very nice reflections. I think I captured one with... Yeah, someone walking in the background. That looks nice. Well, there's another car coming. That was a Jeep or something. That's the kind of car you want to drive down here. Squidgy stuff again. Ooh. That'll be quite some cleaning required when we return home. It's interesting the way the light changes here.
Yeah.
And very quickly. Because now you see the kind of warmer, almost sunlight. But it's still filtered through a layer of mist and cloud. Oh, there's a lovely little stream. Not sure if I can take some good pictures of that though. But let me try. Oh, this landscape is pretty amazing.
The nature of shopping, people don't get, you know, milk delivered to them.
What? What happened to you? You sank in some mud. This is a real adventure. Bridge. This is a massive bridge. This is a big bridge, just
okay,
wide
no
enough.
Trolls.
Sorry?
No trolls.
No trolls?
No trolls.
Why, are there supposed to be trolls under bridges? Huh?
Depends. Well, there are three of us.
What superstition does that go back to?
And Christoph. Rebecca, Christoph has got the gruff.
Ah, yeah.
Three Billy Goats gruff.
Billy Goats gruff.
Okay, but please explain to me and the listeners.
It's a child's story from when...
How does it go?
We were kids. All right. Basically, the context of the story is, right, there are two pastures, like small fields... And they're separated by a small river with a bridge going between the two fields. And in one field live these three goats.
Uh-huh.
There's a medium, a baby goat, a medium goat, and a big daddy goat.
Uh-huh.
And the trouble is the grass where they're living isn't very good. But the grass in the other pasture on the far side is the best looking grass they've ever, ever seen. And so they really want to get and eat this grass. There's one trouble. The bridge is controlled by a troll who lives under the bridge.
I see.
And so they're looking at this grass and looking at this grass and temptation is growing. So in the end, the first goat, the baby goat, gives in to temptation and says, right, I'm going over to this pasture over there. And off trots. So it's going across the bridge, clomp, clomp, clomp.
and the troll hears footsteps and jumps up. Ah, I'm going to eat you. And the little goat goes, oh, no, please don't eat me. And he goes, oh, why not? And he goes, well, if you let me go to the other side, the other goats will see it's okay and they'll come over. And my brother is much bigger than me. Much more food for you. And the troll thinks about this and goes, okay. And so the little goat trots over and starts eating the grass. And the other goats see this. And so the second goat goes across. And again, the troll jumps up from under the bridge and says, aha, I'm going to eat you instead. And the second goat goes, oh no, you do not want to eat me, because if my big, big brother back in the field sees I get over, then he'll come over as well and he'll make a huge banquet for you. Troll thinks about it, agrees, and lets the second goat go across to the new pasture. Finally, he hears clomp, 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 and he jumps up off to the bridge. There's only one problem. By being so greedy, the troll did not realise that while he was bigger than the first two billy goats, the final billy goat was bigger than him.
Oh.
And with one quick rush and a ram, the billy goat knocked the troll into the river and he was washed away and all the billy goats made it to the other side.
That's cute.
And that's an old kid story.
Is that an old Welsh kid story?
No, it's just an English sort of proverb about being greedy.
So while Gareth has told us this story, we've come down here to the river bank, and this is very nice here. Should probably get closer down there, but we're about 4 or 5 feet above the river. Just wonder if there's a pathway down here somewhere. We can get a bit closer and kind of get a bit more foreground into the picture. I'd love to try one where I hold the camera at my outstretched arm, just millimeters above the water. A bit dangerous for the camera, but might be quite rewarding in terms of the picture I get there. Okay, let me go down to the river here. There's sort of a pathway. I'll climb down. Okay, now there is foreground in terms of grass and rocks, and I'll try to I'll end up in the water sooner or later. This is a bit scary, but let me try something here. I'm holding the camera at my outstretched arm, having the strap tied around my hand so it won't fall. I'm making sure to get something in the foreground, some of the grass that's growing here. But that doesn't really work from a photographic point of view. Let me try that. Some sort of a, whoops! Sort of a rock in the foreground. This one is a bit slippery to stand on. And all that's there is water. And Rebecca's watching me from above. And can you see me falling? Okay. Oh yeah, this might be nice from the here from the edge. Just including some of the edge of the water. Again, there's I need some more foreground here. I've already reduced the aperture to 14, 13, just to have a lot of depth of field here. I can't get closer to the water, otherwise I'll fall in. Okay, I'm giving up on that approach, but I might have another go later. Oh, that's the dangers of nature photography, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There I can see some sort of a pathway down to the water. Actually, onto the water, onto some of the rocks. Let me go down there. That should be interesting. Oh yeah. That is what I've been looking for. Okay. Now here's the rocks. Just carefully trying to not fall into, there's moss on these. Oh no. That one's slippery. That one's not slippery. That one looks slippery. Ah!
They are slippery.
They are slippery.
Yes.
Okay. No big jumps here. I hope you can hear that. It's pretty loud here. It's a bit of a some rapids in this river. And okay. Now the problem is that I have, so in one hand I have the camera, in the other one I have the recording equipment, and so if I fall I don't have any way to to save myself. I should be able to get my foot down here. Oh yeah, that's a better thing. Now let me, I'm kneeling down, holding the camera above the waterline, and let me, oh yeah, that's getting us some nice foreground here with the camera pretty close to the water, actually to some area of the water where there's bubbles coming out, so that might add some nice texture as well. And now one thing has happened to me that I was trying to avoid, that's my flash card is full and I don't have a spare with me. So how do I get out of here? Ah, this is the most dangerous thing. Okay, let me rely on my boots actually being watertight as they were advertised to be. Okay, here, this one is a slippery one. Help. Now if I go this way and this way, okay, I'm off. Whew. Now, as I said, I made one capital mistake.
What?
I switched the camera to RAW earlier for a bunch of pictures and forgot to switch it back.
Ooh.
Now, RAW takes up much more space than JPEG.
Are you running out of space?
I have run out of space.
No.
So, what I have to do, I've taken more pictures than I actually needed to take. So I think I'll take a quick break here. Oh, there's actually a nice little picnic bench, and I'll try to take a minute and weed out some of those pictures.
Okay, and that was the first part of our sound-seeing tour to Hafod in Wales. I've added some links to more information into the show notes on tipsfromthetopfloor.com, so you can find out a bit more about this beautiful place. And on Friday, I'll bring you part two of the soundseeing tour. Make sure, again, to check out the gallery. There are pictures that I've taken on the soundseeing tour. And yeah, that can give you just a bit of a different experience if you listen to the show and at the same time look at the pictures that go along with it. Oh, and I've just checked the votes and the feedback that some of you submitted on Podcast Alley. Thank you so much for this. Thanks to your votes, Tips from the Top Floor is still in the overall top 30 and on number one in the educational category, and that's just great. Thanks for listening. Tune back in on Friday for part two of the Hafod Soundseeing. My name's Chris Marquardt. Have a great week and happy shooting.